Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us tonight. And looking back in my notes here, I've started this book back, my notebook here, back early on. I don't know that I put a date down on it, but anyway, I can go back and look at the studies. In the studies here, today's study is study 82. And we've missed a few weeks because there was two or three weeks there I had the virus and some other things came up that we weren't able to be involved. But, you know, 82 weeks is quite a little time spell. But I went through the study in our walk. How man walks. He can walk according to God or he can walk according to himself. And that was about 160, 70 studies. And that was so we haven't gotten that far yet. And today's date is the third day of March, 2021. And so we're about to fill up this little book. I think when we get done with Philippians, we'll have the notes for wisdom here all the way up to two of the last seven books that Paul had written there. And I got a lot of notes there that I had not looked at in a while, and just looking at them today made me remember a lot of the stuff that we had gone through. And certainly it's been a great pleasure to me to do that. And we're going to start our study tonight in the sixth verse of chapter 4 of Philippians. Now, Philippians 3 and 4 kind of runs together in a sense concerning early in the chapter 3, Paul talks about the things that he got from being born, who he was, where he went to school, you know, what he done, those kind of things. And he come to the point where he said, I'm going to pile them up. I'm going to count all this, but done. It's just crap. But he said, what I'm really after is to know the love of Christ and to understand his sufferings, his death, and his resurrection, and his ascension. And especially bearing down on the resurrection part of it. To know him and to know he wanted to have that out resurrection. And when God gave him this understanding, they were going to mention it here. I don't know where we mention it tonight, but maybe in the next study, if we don't mention it tonight, we'll get to it, because we're slowly but surely working toward the end of Philippians. And so we finished up with verse 5 last time, and we get, we normally get 3 or 4 or 5 verses a night, and you say, well, that don't sound like you're getting very far. But if you do it in a study form rather than just a reading form, then you're not going to get out of it what you should get out of it without going back and looking at the things that go with it. Because the Bible speaks of itself. It is a testimony unto itself, written by many people under under the direction of the Godhead, and that it works that way to where we can look and we can gather information, we can gather knowledge, and we can gather understanding, and put it all together in the different dispensations that they go in, and come to a conclusion that yes, man alone just couldn't write a book like this.
Amen.
Couldn't happen. Never has happened. But we've got it. And we should use it. Thus on the Bible is not something that will heal anything. But it's when you take it off and get into it, that's when it becomes a living organism. Okay. Having made my little sermon, we'll get started. And I'm going to read 5 again, and then we'll go down through 9 deals with Paul's assessment of where he is here after he said in chapter 3 that all these other things that I got, I just count as not being worth anything. But he hasn't forgot his folks. He hasn't forgot the people that he went to and preached to and stayed with. And so this is what part of Chapter 4 is dealing with here down through the verse 9. And then verse 10 through 20, which is the rest of the book, it kind of changes gears a little bit. So here we go. I'm going to read it in the King James Version. And I'm going to start with 5. And it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And so, after saying what Paul had said early on in 4, in the latter part of 3, if you've been with me in these studies, you kind of got the understanding why and how we do this. And then verse 6 says this. Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And as we have said over and over again, and Ronnie's been going through this study about prayer and supplication for some time now, so we've kind of gotten somewhat of an idea of what it is to be able to speak, and God will hear us. And not only that, but we found out last week that prayers can be used in the vials that are going to be poured out on the earth, and it's going to be sweet odors along with the judgment that's coming. And I know you've read, and I've read in Scripture where these ointments were used, and the ointments were of high price, and a lot of times people would complain about spending it on the dead. But that makes a sweet odor to God, that man was supposed to live forever, but sin caused death to come about. And so, therefore, when he comes back to the earth and he pours out these vials upon the earth, that it's going to have the sweet smell, and it's also going to be death to others. So, God doesn't use these things without carrying it on like he was when he laid it out in Scripture, because when somebody that was an Israelite died, they didn't have embalming, but they used the odors. Well, when God pours his wrath out upon the earth, some of it's going to have that sweet smell, because death is going to follow that. And if you've never really thought about it, go back and read it sometime. What was it, Ronnie? Was in about chapter 5 or 8?
Revelation 5, and then they're mentioned again in Revelation 8. Yeah.
Okay. Revelation 5 and Revelation 8, if you missed it. Go back and look at that, because it tells us things that sometimes we don't know. But Paul says in verse 6 of Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And I turned to my notes. And you can take them for what they are, notes. Be careful, or be anxious for nothing. And if you look up careful there, in Strong's 3667, it talks about things that are similar. So if you are studying God's Word and you're a student of God's Word, that is a very important statement there. And you need to know the answer to it, and the answer to that was things that are similar. It says, but in everything by prayer. And prayer there is prosuke. And that's what one of the words that we've been using in prayer, and it is a prayer to God. Especially a prayer of thanksgiving, but it also can have supplication with it. And supplications are desis in the Greek. And desis means a petition for a special object having regards to our necessity. So when we're talking about in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, that kind of covers the whole gamut. Let your requests be known unto God. And Paul sometimes had worries because of the people that he had ministered to and had moved away from. He wanted to know what their needs were at the time, and he was always concerned and always sending people back to these people to know how they were doing. It was his, that was his thing, because he says in this Philippians, he talks about joy and rejoicing. And that's the silver thread here in this book, in Philippians. And he says that these people were his joy and his crown. So he's got a lot invested in these people. He has spent a lot of times moving away from those that were after him all the time and doing things to keep, to be able to keep being in a place where he could at least get the message down to these people that when he left, they would have something to hold on to. And it was free of charge. He didn't ever charge people for what he told them. He always worked when he could. Let your request be made known to God. And Paul, as I said, sometimes has worries as to what these needs were at the time for those people. And certainly Paul knew that with the problems that he had living in the age that he did and teaching what he was teaching, that these people would have problems also, because, you know, we all have our crosses to bear in that situation. Okay, so let's read it in the Koine Greek. Verse 6. And I can't read Koine Greek, but Jack has translated it, or Mel, there's one of them has down for me, and it says nothing. Be careful, but rather in all by prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, the request of you let be made known toward God. And so this toward God here doesn't have to go any further than the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Because that Holy Spirit can make what we need to say or what we think we have said pleasing to God, like these sweet odors of the ones that have died. Think about that. And when you think it about, when you think about a young Christ being put into the womb of a woman, and he says he was without sin. Well, when he gave his blood, he gave his blood for the sins of all men, whether they accept it or not. You see, Mary's sin couldn't overtake her son. But yet, what Christ told him after his resurrection and there 40 days, he said, tarry in Jerusalem till Pentecost, and the Comforter will come. So this Comforter was going to come to them in a special way. And they were about 120 there that got the Comforter all at one time. And the first thing that the Comforter did was the interpretation of different languages. One could speak and all could hear in their own language. They didn't have an interpretation machine or anything to bring this about. That was done by the Holy Spirit. That was done by the risen Christ. That's another part of his finished work that we don't really think about too much. And a lot of people says, well, I got saved. Later on, I got sanctified. Later on, I prayed through and got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Did he really?
Well, that's interesting.
Is that the way it works? That wasn't the way it worked in Acts 2. Are they right? Well, I'll just leave it there. I'll let you figure that one out. But they are people that think that and think that way. I know because I've been in the church when it was said. I'm praying through to get the Holy Spirit. Well, you can be saved without the Holy Spirit? Sure you can. But the body of Christ which comes our spirit life was such a great thing that people just stumble all around over it quite often. But when we think about wisdom and we think about what God has given us that we can understand, that we can go down, pay a little money and go into a class in a college and sit down with somebody has a doctorate or a master's, and that he knows the subject upon which he's teaching. And he tells them students and gives them the understanding and the knowledge how to use that wisdom in a way that they would have never known before. That's the reason we send our kids to school. We send them to school so they'll know more than we know. Otherwise, they wouldn't know more than we know. But this is the way that works. And so God made it available to us and to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to see and to know and to grow. We need to be careful for nothing, because things that are similar are not always the same. And we need to be careful about what we understand and what we know and how we apply it. And this is Paul's application to us, okay? And it says, be careful for nothing, but rather in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known toward God. Jack says, I've heard this referred to as the worry verse. The title may be appropriate. The words actually give the sense of the command. Have anxious care about nothing. God knows his human beings when he urges this. The antidotes are more than appropriate. The antidotes are prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. What better antidotes can the world offer? They can't offer that. There's nothing better than that. To be able to talk with your Creator is something, something, something. He does not urge to ignore the object of anxious care. He gives antidotes which are proactive. The believer has the wherewithal to effect change through the powerhouse of God. When you lay it before God in a loving way that he accepts, then you've done a great wonder. A great event has happened. And prayer, we've seen it. Prayer is a great event in our lives, because there are things that we can't do that God can do. There's things that God knows that we don't know. Lots of stuff. Most of the stuff. we only have scratched the surface, I think. And I think this says that. Plus, we're going to look at three places here. Go with me to Matthew 6 for just a minute. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, and it is on page, let me get everything, 1320. If you have a companion Bible, okay? And we're going to look at verses 25 through 31. And it says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. Full stop. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather unto barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are we not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? So this was what Jack got out of this in the first part of this. Now, we're going to move on from the Gospels, and we're going to go to Ephesians. And we want to go to Ephesians 6. And that's right before Philippians. And let me get my... We're going to go to Ephesians 6, around 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine. That's on page 1768 if you have a companion Bible. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Then we go into 1 Timothy 2. I got 6 marked too, but that's for another study, I guess. 1 Timothy 2:1. There's two places here. 2:1 and 5:5. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, It says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now let's get to five. Chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, and look at 5:5. Gee, 1 Timothy, yeah, 2:1, 5:5. Well, let's go back to 3 and it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. So we are to remember those that are widows and have problems with getting around and getting along in their life, that's for sure. So Paul says, be careful for nothing. Let's go to verse 7. Let me get back to Philippians first. In Philippians 4:7 it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And here again is the connection between your wisdom, which is your mind, and your heart, which is the inner man. And the heart and the mind is supposed to be attuned where the Holy Spirit can lead you in the ways that Christ would have you to go. Okay? So that's verse 7. It says, in the peace of God which passes. And if something passes you, then it's ahead of you. And that word passeth there is a, kind of an unusual word. And I think Jack kind of made mention of it in the verse before, because he calls some of these things proactive. Something that passes, it can be so far ahead of our understanding, it is hard for us to wrap our minds around it. And this is God's way of showing us that He is all-knowing and we're just some knowing.
little knowing.
It is surpassing. It is above or over. And it, the Greek word is hyperekō. All understanding for every mind or thought shall keep or garrison your hearts and mind. That's your thoughts and your way of life through or in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. Okay. In the Koine Greek, it says that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We can't really know what peace truly is, because we live in a world that's not very peaceful. The lie of Satan has made this world very polluted. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard the hearts of you and the thoughts of you in Christ Jesus. And that guard is the Holy Spirit. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall garrison your hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ. Garrison is an unusual word. And it's used in Scripture. The word garrison, because it is a place of protection. Some of it was a walled city. And even the children of Israel, as they went from place to place, were in a garrison, because whenever they camped, there was a center in the camp, there was a north, south, east, and west. And there were certain soldiers on each side of the center of their group. And these people were the sentinels to keep out everybody else who wanted to do them harm. And a lot of people did want to do them harm. So a garrison is a place of safety. The body member should be aware that the peace of God which surpasses understanding cannot be explained or understood in everyday worldly language. And sometimes we go to metaphors that when we talk and we speak with people rather than getting above them, we can use these things to give them a mind's eye of what's being said and how it's being used. And I've got to where I do that a lot. More than I used to. And I sometimes want to think, well, maybe I know a little more than I used to. But then I read the Word of God to understand, no, I'm just still here.
Still got a ways to go yet?
Yeah, yeah. Why the believer remains calm in time of turmoil has to be attributed to God's peace given to him. Well, that's kind of like going back to fire school, fire study. You know, if you let your mind and your feelings take hold, you're not going to be very good on a fire study. You've got to keep what's in front of you in mind, or it will consume you. So that's the reason why Paul said in the past verse, be careful for nothing. And we don't want to be consumed by the worldly things. Why the believer remains calm at times of turmoil has to be attributed to God's peace to him. The statement surpasses all understanding must be taken as an accurate assessment and not ascribed to hyperbole. Certainly the ways of God will not be understood by earthly man any more than the power of God. Can we explain the power of God? No, not really. It is stated that his peace will garrison his heart and mind. That is, it will throw up a fortress around the heart and the mind of his body member. So, many times, rather than going off the deep end, we need to take this 1 second and say, Lord God, help me through this and show me what needs to be done. That's an understandable expression, and God understands our hearts. The Holy Spirit has already told him that. And all this Paul is saying here, he's doing this for a purpose. We ain't got to the purpose yet. Well, let's go back to Matthew 6 for a minute again. You know, we were there a little bit ago, so Matthew 6, 31 and 32. And we'll just read what we didn't read a while ago. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That was Matthew 6, 31 and 32. Now I want to go to 2 Corinthians. Two places, 2:11 to begin with. 2 Corinthians 2:11. And page 1730. If I get my leaf to turn over one more time. Yeah, I'm going to have to break down. Get me a Bible. So let's go to 10 first. To whom you forgive anything, forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now Paul says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Okay, go with me to the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And look at verse 32. 11. Second Corinthians 11:32. Huh. Talking about Satan. And he only uses one verse of scripture here, but the story is quite great, because Paul left Damascus after he got his sight and he came back. And Damascus is a garrison. There's only two ways in and out of Damascus. Well, it may be more than that now, because I think it bloated up pretty much.
That was a few years ago.
But for years and years, Damascus was known as the oldest city in the world. And there was one road that went down through the middle of the city. And they watched the gate on both ends. Now, how Paul got in and out to start off with, he might not have been very much of a subject because he was brought in blind. But when he went out and got some understanding, he came back and started preaching and teaching. And so he was there with them for a while. And he says this. Well, he talks about the things that beset him. He says, Paul says in 29 of 2 Corinthians 11, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, he says, I will glory in the things which concerns my infirmities. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. They watched the gates day and night for Paul, because he was in there preaching and teaching somebody said, well, he once hated. And there was others there that said, well, we're not gonna be still until we're not even gonna eat until we do him in. But it says this, and through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Okay. That's Paul's story way back. So let's go to Ephesians 3 for just a minute. In Ephesians 3:21 it says this, let's look at 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Paul says we're hooked into this power. And we have been hooked into this power. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3:20-21. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. We're going to go back to another dispensation. In 1 Peter 1, verse 15 is our major verse. But let's go back to 13 and read 13, 14, and 15. And maybe 16. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, or in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So that's what Jack has left us to look at in verse 7. How much time we got left?
It's 9:26.
27?
No, 9:26, 9:27, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll just read this and then we'll study it next week, because we said all this to say this. Verse, and let me go back to Philippians 4. Go look at verse 8. And it takes a little while, so we'll just kind of read over it, and then we'll take it with us this next time as we go along. But here's the deal. Finally, brother, Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. He is telling you what he has set up, and he has told us that the love of God passes all understanding, that the love of God is only a prayer away. And then he talks about things being true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, with virtue and praise. Think on these things. He has summed it all up again, just like he did in 3, when he piled it up and he said, okay, all I got from my birth and from the world, I count but dung.
Yep.
But this is the list that he's leaving us with. This is the list that he wanted us to know.
That's a good point. The stuff he put off, the stuff he put on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there's 2 of these things, or 3 of these things, that are only used here. So he has given us some of the stuff that he says, I am your example. I am in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he taught and preached. But I am also in tune with what God the Father gave me to tell you. And this kind of sums it all up, really, in a verse.
Definitely.
And I ain't got time today to explain it to you. And that's part of going on and gassing around like I do sometimes under my studies. But I have these things on my mind, and I want to say them when I remember them again, because next week I might not remember as well as I do.
I know that feeling.
Because that's kind of the way we are. And that's the reason Larry used to say, bring your thimble to a Bible study, because you're only going to get a thimble full of what I've got a dump truck put on you, or what a dump truck could hold to put on you. So, you know, this is why we don't give it 2 or 3, 4 verses of Scripture a night, because looking at it in the sense, and we're not going to even read the Koine, because we'll go back and pick up with verse 8, but I wanted to read it to you to give you
literally a good bunch of stuff to think on.
Yeah, that's kind of the rest of the story. Yeah. That's kind of like Paul Harvey getting on the radio and just telling you part of the story as they tune in next week for the rest of the story.
Think on these things.
Yeah. And but that's kind of the way it is, folks. And we'll get what we can, and what the Lord allows us to do, and we'll keep doing it as long as he lets us do it. So there we are, and I appreciate your patience. I appreciate your time and thoughts and prayers, because I certainly need them. I got to go back to the eye doctor tomorrow, and he prescribed some stuff for me, and they won't give it to me. So I got to go and see him. I'm going to talk to the doctor in person and say, okay, you've got the list. You pick me out what I'm supposed to have. Because I don't know how to deal with these people because they say that I can get somebody to help me. So if my doctor can't help me, I don't know who can other than the Lord. And I've talked to the Lord about this already, too. And so maybe...
Well, he said make your supplications known.
Maybe we can get some help with that because my pressures have gone a little higher than they expected it to go. When I had the LASIK surgery, they put shunts in my eyes. And that was supposed to keep them clear and keep the pressure down. But I have a skin problem, and that helps. Dry skin problem, and that always is my eyes are always being involved in that too. So that's one of the things you just have to live with. That's part of my inheritance that I really didn't want was pressure in eyes. But mom and dad both passed away, and both
getting old and sissies, isn't it?
And both of them were legally blind, and so I don't want to become legally blind yet.
Amen.
If I can help. So thank you for your patience and understanding, and thank you for your prayers for me, because I know I couldn't do this if I didn't have the prayers of those that want to learn and understand, and maybe I have some way or another we can help that. God bless you all. Love you. Praying for you every day.